Good evening. I'd like to read two passages, first from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, the Gospel that we've been considering, Brother Austin Dine, in the last couple of weeks. But not one that he took as his, one of his subjects. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 22. And he, Jesus, cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as three walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. And beginning at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted or tested him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee again for thy holy word. It is given for instruction, for correction, for reproof, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We ask thee to open our understanding, to understand the application of thy word for our lives and for our day, and pray that we will learn from the things we have read in thy word, and will help us to glorify thee among the people whom we work and live every day. We thank you for this time together. Pray thy blessing now in the Savior's precious name. My message tonight perhaps would be more applicable after the breaking of bread on a Sunday morning. However, we'll take it tonight. The story of the Good Samaritan. As a child growing up in Sunday school, a teenager, I heard this story taken a number of times, and from it, the gospel was preached. That verse in 2 Timothy 3:16, which I quoted, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, I have no misgivings about using that story in the Gospels. Nevertheless, I never remember hearing a message with the plain application of the story. The application, the meaning is very plain. It's right on the surface. The priests and the Levites were religious people. And because of their religion, they were prevented from helping a wounded and dying man. They weren't allowed to touch a dead body. They couldn't be contaminated. And so they passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, when he saw the wounded man, he went where he was, gave him what medication he had, put him on his beast, took him to a motel, took care of him that night, and the next morning gave the host of the motel money to further take care of him until he came back. My message tonight is practical Christianity. When I say practical, I mean practical. Down to earth. Practical. In the assembly where I grew up, until mid-teenage, that story was applied to religious people who were unable, because blinded by religion, were unable to help a poor, wounded, broken sinner to show him the way of salvation. Maybe you can do that. But the practical lesson is that here was a man in need. He had been beaten. He was wounded. And the scripture says, the Lord said, they left him half dead. And yet two religious men passed by, looked at him. One even walked over a little closer and looked. And then passed by on the other side. I wonder what we are doing today. There is so much need around us, among the Christians, among others. The Lord Jesus said, and it is still true, the poor you have with you always. The story I read from Mark's Gospel, I wonder if it isn't true of most of us, that we see men as freed walking. Now when you read that story about that miracle, don't think that the Lord Jesus lost some of his power to restore sight to that blind man, because he had to touch his eyes the second time. That scripture is given for you and for me, for our learning. When he first looked up, after Jesus had touched his eyes, he said, I see men as trees walking. How do we see men? Do we see people? Flesh and blood? Do we see the need? next door, to our brothers and sisters, in our brothers and sisters' lives, and others? Or do we see men as trees walking and pass by on the other side? If we keep what we have and do not help the unfortunate, the poor, the distressed, the sick, we see men as trees walking. They're really not people. We see them as trees. And we can't see the trees for the forest. Now that's a reversal of the same. You know, we say we can't see the forest for the trees, but I'm saying we can't see the trees for the forest. We may look on humanity as a mass of humanity and feel, well, you know, I'm unable to cope with that situation. It's too big, it's too wide, it's too great. But every person is an individual. And if we see them as trees walking, then we don't reach out. We don't touch them. We don't extend practical help to them. The Lord Jesus spoke about Samaritans a couple of times in his ministry. Here is one of them. And I can imagine when he mentioned the word Samaritan, you know, they sort of cringed. 10 lepers were cleansed. 1 returned to give thanks. That one was the Samaritan. And the Lord Jesus met a woman of Samaria at the well. No wonder she said to him, when he asked for a drink, she said, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Those Samaritans were sort of half-breeds. Back in 2 Kings chapter 17, the king of Assyria, Shalmaneser, came down upon the northern kingdom Israel. You remember that after Solomon's death, he had given the kingdom over to his son Rehoboam. But he turned out to be not a good king. He asked the people to come, and they came and they said, now your father made our yoke heavy with hard burdens. We're coming to ask you to lighten those burdens. Take away some of the taxes. Don't make it so hard for us. We just can't live under these circumstances. And he said, we'll come back in 3 days and I'll give you an answer. And he talked to the old men and they said, that's what you need to do. Lighten the burden. And then he talked to the young men and they said, nothing doing. They said, you tell them when they come, you're going to make their burden 10 times worse. Your father chastised them with whips, you're going to chastise them with scorpions. And so the kingdom was divided. Jeroboam came, who had been in exile in Egypt. He'd had to leave because of King Solomon. Now he comes back. King Solomon is dead. And the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom of Israel, called Ephraim sometimes, Jeroboam became their king, and the southern tribe, Judah and Benjamin, Rehoboam, Solomon's son, became their king. And there was war between the two kingdoms for many, many years. Shalmaneser came, and he took away the people out of Samaria, out of the northern kingdom. Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom. He took those people out of Samaria back to Assyria. And he brought Assyrian people and populated Samaria with them. And so, that's why the Samaritans, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. They were sort of a half-breed. They weren't full-blooded Jews. Well, we have prejudices today, one kind and another, class, caste, color, status. But men are men. They are not trees. We should not see them as trees walking. And if God has blessed us with means, then we should reach out to those in need. In recent years, our assembly has begun to help more than it ever did. You see, back earlier, when we heard the word good works, that was a no-no. Don't even say that. Good works. That was tantamount to saying, that's religion. And people have good works and they think they're going to heaven by doing good works. And because of that, we have swung the pendulum 180 degrees to the other side. We don't want to hear the word good work. Well, we didn't until a few years ago. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, chapter 2, we all know verses 5 to 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But now when we get to verse 10, we never quote that. That's a part of the same message, but we never quote it. For verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. So we don't have to be afraid of the phrase, good work. We have been created, Paul says, unto good works. So, our responsibility is that where we are able, then this practical show of our Christianity should be extended to those in need. You look around today, there are any number of brothers and sisters, more sisters than brothers, in our assembly who have tremendous need. They are sick. They have medical expenses. They have doctor bills, hospital bills. How much of a responsibility do we feel towards them in helping? It's a great burden upon the minds of these. Go to their homes. Sit down and talk with them. You can see the anxiety more than the disease, but for the expenses that are being incurred. And again, Paul writes to Titus, chapter 2 and chapter 3. He talks about good works. He says, exhort them, remind them who have believed to be careful to maintain good works. Apparently they were doing good works. Now he says that they may maintain good works. So it's an ongoing ministry. It is a ministry. Because we are sharing what God has given to us, just as we share the spiritual things from the Word, we share the practical things that we have, that we handle. Then, the early church, Acts chapter 2, we read of those disciples, it says they broke bread from house to house. In other words, they shared what they had with each other. And they took collections for the poor saints in Jerusalem, Romans chapter 15, Achaia and Macedonia. They made collections and they sent this money to Jerusalem, and Paul says, rightly so, because the Gentiles are debtors to those Jews. the Jews brought them spiritual blessing. The message came from the Jews. They were the first to hear it and to be saved and to bring the message of salvation. And they brought that message to the Gentiles. Now it's right that the Gentiles minister to them in material things. They need it. They are poor. And so they took up collection and they sent to the poor saints in Jerusalem. I want to read what the Apostle James has to say. James chapter 2. James 2 verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith, or the margin says, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, the Lord bless you, and go before you. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So he's saying, you don't have any advantage there. The devils believe that. You say you have faith in God. You believe in God. Well, the devils believe this God. The devils know that. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? He says, if you don't put it into practice, if you don't show it, then just saying you have faith isn't enough. Nobody can see my faith. You can't see mine, I can't see yours. God can see it, but we can't see faith. But people are looking for an expression of faith. They're looking for an outward exhibition, an expression of our faith. What we say we believe, they want to see it put into action. So James says, faith without work is dead. I don't know how many of us visit around to, you know, the people who are ill or the aged, the lonely. But I would suggest if you don't, then perhaps a good time to start. You'll see firsthand the poverty, the need, the sorrow, the anxiety. And perhaps, who knows, the Lord may speak to you and then work through you to reach out to those in need. Did you say, you know, I don't have that gift. I don't read anywhere in the scriptures that that's a gift. James says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I don't read anywhere where that's a gift. Who is more timid and bashful and frightened than I was? You just have to make up your mind and go. You don't have to prepare a sermon. You may settle on a couple of verses. You may read a couple of verses to the person. You may read a good poem somebody has written. They just want somebody to talk to let off some of the burden that lays on their heart, just to get rid of it a bit. The hospital, probably 18 to 20 wards in the Princess Margaret Hospital, probably 10 wards up in Park Hill, geriatric and beyond.
I can't go to those things.
Look, you have to go. I can't tell you the situation. I remember when I first came to Nassau and associated with the young people at Central Gospel Chapel. In those days, all the businesses closed down on Friday at 12 o'clock. Siren went, you dropped your pen, your axe, your saw, and that was half day holiday. But the young men from Central, they were going to what was then called the infirmary. Now they call it the geriatrics, you know, we get more sophisticated. We give it highfalutin names. Out at the Prospect Hospital, most of you here don't remember this, but, during the Second World War, the RAF were stationed there training, and men were being injured and killed, and they needed a hospital, and they built their own out in Prospect Ridge. Well, when the war was over, those men left, most of them, some married here stayed. The building was left there. Well, the government, around about 1950, decided they needed to build a new hospital. The old wooden Bahamas General Hospital was in such a mess, they needed to build a new hospital. And so they transferred the patient to Prospect Ridge while they built the new prison, Princess Margaret Hospital. It was renamed that later as Princess Margaret came to Bahamas. The young men would go out Friday afternoon. The young ladies, Sister Susanna was among the ladies. The ladies would go to the ladies. The young fellows would go to the men. It was not the nicest place to go. When you open the door, the smell matches. But the young men went. The young ladies went. In spite of it, they went. They shook hands with the people, they sang psalms, they sang their favorites, and they gave them a word in the gospel for about an hour to spend with those men. You just have to go. There's no special gift. You just have to go. The people are there by the hundreds. I went to search out a woman from Murphytown last night at Princess Margaret. After quite a while, finally found her in the I-Wing, sister from the Murphytown Assembly, Nora Wilmore. Her and Ida came to the conference at Manowar every year. Apparently she has cancer. She speaks in a whisper. She has problems with her hearing. She's very weak. You should have seen the smile on her face, as meek as she was, when I walked in. Just to be there, just to go with somebody who's sick and lonely, to look on your face, to know that, thank God, there's somebody out there that cares. Just to go and be there, shake their hand, and tell them, I love you. Maybe read a scripture, have a prayer. You don't have to. You don't have to preach a sermon. Just to go. Just to be there. And then, in a very practical way with our means, is what I'm mostly concerned about. Because I see the abundant need among some of the people of our assembly today. And I'm wondering, how much are we reaching out? Do we see men in the street walking? Or do we see them as human beings? And do we ever think that perhaps one day it will come to me. If the Lord tarries, we get older, we get feeble. Illness comes, severe sickness, and a visit from a brother or sister in the Lord, whether it's from your assembly or church or some other place, but a true believer who goes and sits and talks with that individual, lifts the spirit, and then perhaps a handout to show some practical fellowship with those individuals. So, James tells this story, and then he tells the story about Abraham. Same story. And then about Rahab. He says, Abraham's faith was seen in his works and willing to offer up his son Isaac. In God's sight, he slew his son, because the writer to the Hebrews says he raised him from the dead. So in God's sight, he died. I guess in Abraham's sight, he died too. You couldn't even imagine what Abraham went through. And Rahab, the harlot, who hid the spies, she says to those men, the fear of God fell on us when you surrounded this city of Jericho. There was no more spirit left in us. That woman then turned her life over to the God of heaven. Although she still has that appellation, Rahab the harlot, except when she comes in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus, that is left out. It's not mentioned there. In Christ, the past is gone. She's just referred to as Rahab, not Rahab the harlot. So, there are many examples of people in the scriptures who practice practical Christianity. They shape of their own, and they went where the poor and the sick and the lonely were. I have a friend in geriatric, been there for 8 months. He's been sick for a year, taken sick last January. And I go up practically every Sunday to see him. I see people from other churches coming in. They're rolling trolleys. They have fruit. They have biscuits. They have sandwiches. They have juices. And they're rolling up and down those wards with normally 2 dozen people in each ward. And they're giving this stuff to these patients. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they have an ulterior motive. Maybe they think that that's going to get them to heaven. I trust not. But they are there. And we are not there. The doors are wide open. Sunday afternoon, 3 to 5. Evenings, 6 to 7. There are opportunities. I know there are a lot of people in those places who cannot think too clearly, but there are some who can. But let's come nearer home to our own people, our people in our assembly and the people that we know generally. And my conviction, my concern, or a practical demonstration, a working out of our faith, what we say that we have in our hearts, to let it be seen through our fingers and in our persons as we go out and touch those people. The Levite and the priest didn't touch. They passed by on the other side. God grant that it may not be said of us, of me or you, that when we saw the need,
in past life. On the other side, the need is there. And may we be exercised by the Spirit of God to share something of what we have and bring relief and comfort and maybe spiritual hope to some who may be without hope as we go around. I trust the Lord will speak to our hearts from His word and His prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee that Thy word gives us instruction in every area of our lives if we will but read it and wait on Thee for the application. Thou hast blessed us in this land abundantly, and we thank Thee for Thy goodness. But Lord, as we have looked into Thy word and seen that we need to be very practical and to work out our salvation, so let it be seen in a practical way, especially to those who are of the household of faith, but more than that, to others, to all men, that we may gladly, willingly, seek to lift their burdens by helping them both in a practical way and in a spiritual sense of being there to pray with them and share their burden. So we thank Thee for this time together. Commend us with Thee now in the Savior's precious name.